I mentioned we're on a journey with Jesus. We've been talking about that, going through that. And it's amazing. Jesus taught on the road. When they were in the mountains, in the valley, it was almost like you learn while you're walking with him. And he taught them lessons that would shape them, affect their lives, and help them to become the people of God. That's what he did. He was preparing them for things ahead. Then one day he would ascend to heaven. He would leave the Holy Spirit for us, who would empower us and help us to walk down this journey with him. All of these things were training situations because we're soldiers. And what's amazing, when you talk about that, you say, what do you mean I'm a soldier? I never knew I enlisted. You are. The moment you receive Jesus into your heart, you are a soldier for the Lord. And it's amazing when you look at Jesus, and the one opportunity they had to fight was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders came to get him, and Jesus says, put up your swords. That had to blow their minds. Lord, we have an opportunity to take him, and you say, don't. What kind of army was he raising up? Later, Paul would talk to Timothy, and he would tell him, fight the good fight of faith. The end of Paul's life, he would say, I have fought the fight, the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. So who are we fighting against? That's important for us to know, because so many times we get it wrong. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realm. Our enemy is not people. So many times we don't get that lesson learned. We think the enemy is the person across the aisle or you know, that person in town that we're at odds with. No, our enemy is the devil and his demons. You know what? We are taught to deal with the visible. The things that we can see, we understand that. We say, oh, okay, but, and we live in this rationalistic world that, you know, if I can see it, I believe it. If I don't see it, then I don't get it. And maybe it's not true. You know, for years, we had no idea what the atom was. And then all of a sudden, we discover it and we realize the power in the atom. Does that mean it wasn't there before we discovered it? It was there. And I think about the wind. You know, the wind we can't see. Oh, there's times when it's cold and freezing outside and we breathe and you say, oh, I finally see it. But we can see its effect all the time. We can see how it moves trees and how wind can be a source of power. You know, it's amazing we see the effects. But what amazes me is that the Lord, in the Bible, the Old Testament was in Hebrew, the New Testament was originally in Greek, and the same word they use for spirit means wind or breath. Ruach, pneuma, that's what it meant. And God is telling us there's a realm that you don't see, but it's more real than you know. One of the lessons on the journey with Jesus is to recognize this realm and that we are in a battle in the midst of that realm. And what happens there has an effect on us here. Church, we need to know this. Jesus had numerous encounters with demon-possessed people. He saw how they controlled their life and made their life miserable and robbed them of life in the Lord. But Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. Now we know that means salvation, but it also means deliverance from the bondages that the enemy has caught people in. You know what I'm amazed is when Jesus sent the 12 out, and then here in that I read, the 70, they went out. And he told them, heal the sick, you know, raise the people and so on. And they come back and they say, you know, we're even amazed. Demons are subject to us. That's an enlightening statement. especially today, because people say, no, that's not really a real realm, is it? And the only one that's laughing at that is the devil, because he says, they don't even believe me anymore. You know, we have Halloween where you dress up like the devil and all the other things, and we think, it's not real. The devil laughs because he's duped people. You know, when we talk about this realm, some people immediately go to movies they've seen, The Exorcist or some other occultic movie, and it scares people. They can't sleep at night and finally get to the point, it's not real. And you think, well, it's not real, so I can sleep now. It is real. One of the lessons along the journey with Jesus is recognizing this realm and that there is a war going on, battling for the souls of humanity. And you are a soldier in the army of the living God. God has called you. He's raising you up to be a soldier for the Lord. And here's the amazing thing. In Luke 19, verse 10, it says this, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." You know, we hear this, we misunderstand it. Does that mean I go just step on snakes and serpents? Well, the Bible says Satan was that serpent in the garden. We need to realize this is our enemy. And you say, and it says earlier, I read that, you know, that nothing will hurt you. If nothing will hurt me, I might as well go jump off the Empire State Building because I'm not going to be hurt. We don't understand what the Lord is telling us. He's telling us we're in a war. We will not lose. We may be hurt. We may be wounded. Some may even die. We call those martyrs. But we win. You know, I've learned something. You can't kill a dead man. They're already dead. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a dead man, but you're alive. What are you talking about, Pastor? In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What do you do to somebody who's already dead? They're already dead. But the Bible tells us we're going to live forever with Jesus. The Christians are the ones who need to have the sign, no fear. Why? You don't have to fear death. You're living already forever with Jesus. The new man lives by faith. 1 John 5:4 says this, "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." That's the victory. That's where we win the war, by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is our victor. And we know in the end, we win. I love that. Don't you love it when you know the end of the story? Kind of helps you get through it and say, well, all this stuff that's going on, I know how it finishes. And that's what happens. But there are things we need to learn along the way. The first is this. We have an adversary. We have an adversary. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith." The Bible tells us who we're up against, tells us his mannerism, that he goes about like a roaring lion. It tells us his intent. He's seeking to devour. Now, I don't know about you, but I have too many friends that they've been devoured. They bought his lie, hook, line, and sinker, and they're in his captivity. I want to see them free. You know, there's a story in this church. They had, I think it was 30 or 40 young men that went off to war, Second World War. Their moms came down, prayed. I think there was a 24/7 prayer meeting going for those boys. Every one of them came back alive. And what was amazing, one had been captured by the Germans, and his brother's unit liberated his camp. You know, the devil wants to devour. But the Bible tells us what we're supposed to do. It says, resist him. You are part of the resistance of God. And how do we make that resistance? We're steadfast in the faith. We're not like this in God. We are steadfast. We're going to be the same tomorrow as we were today, except closer to Jesus, because we're growing in that. But our feet are not wishy-washy here and there. And there's something we need to know about our enemy. He is not omniscient and omnipresent. You say, what are those words? Omniscient means he doesn't know everything. The other thing is he can't be everywhere at once. He's not like God that knows all things, that God can be in all places at once. Satan can't. He's got to get his information by his little spies, his minions that he sends out to find out about everything. And he has those. And he dispatches and assigns those demons to go about his business. And we know the characteristics of Satan, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How many of you know someone that he's working on them? He's stealing, he's killing, he's destroying them. And doesn't it make you mad? You're saying, no, wait a minute. Satan, you're not going to trespass on territory that's not yours. Some of you have children that are not walking with God, or grandchildren. And you know what? It seems like the enemy's stolen them. You know what? You don't give up. You pray and believe in that God will retake that territory for him. But Satan likes to come along. He loves to harass. He loves to oppose. That's what he does. And you know, his tactics are temptations. Even hit and run attacks. And then he takes off. He's like a terrorist that likes to wage war and inflict damage on people. And he also establishes strongholds. You say, what's a stronghold? What does that really mean? It's a place where he can dominate and where he can hold captive. Satan looks for people, places, cities, even nations where he's not resisted, where he can slip in and kind of take over. I think if you were to talk about some cities, some might come to your own mind and say, wow, that city's like that. And there are some actually that have churches for Satan in them. One is San Francisco. And what happens, the enemy comes into a place. He loves to take it over. And there he tries to get the mindset of the enemy to be the mindset of that city. There are places in the world like that that are anti-God. Or you've seen the enemy's work in that. Some years ago, my older children and my wife, we were in Germany. And we had went to Dachau, which was a concentration camp for the Nazis. Many, many Jewish people were killed there. And what was strange is, here that morning, we stopped at a McDonald's for breakfast in the city of Dachau. And I felt it. There was something in the air still. And I'm not one of these whoo type persons, but I felt that. It was still there. And you know, sometimes you can feel when you're in the enemy's camp. You can feel that. And you know what? This is a stronghold. It's an area that's controlled by the enemy. He has a grip over that place. He has a strong influence there. If you're a Christian in that place, you feel it. I think you know what I'm talking about. But believers in Christ feel that oppression that the enemy's trying to give. I think of Daniel in the Old Testament. Here he's taken as a captive and they take him to Babylon and then later Persia. Those were strongholds for the enemy. The mindset of the people, what they were teaching the people there, what Daniel had to endure going through that. But what I love about Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would serve the Lord and do the right thing. And he did. He knew the source of his strength was prayer. And what he did is he would pray. He would pray and finally he said, how can we stop him? Let's pass a law where nobody can pray except to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, I'm still going to pray to God. It caused him to land in the lion's den. And people say, well, it's over for that guy. No, God was not finished. The Lord protected him, brought him out, and his enemies became the lion's lunch, not him. God does his work. I believe the city of Corinth, as you read your Bible, before Christ came there was a stronghold for the enemy. Things that went on there were just ungodly. But when the Lord came and that church was formed, you began to see God do some amazing things. And one of the things he tells that Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 10:4, says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I know some of you will read that and say, well, that I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I'm mighty at all. But you know, you may not be. But the God who lives in your heart, he is mighty. He is the one that says, you know what? You can pull down those strongholds because I'm with you. You know, there's a lot of preachers talking about self-help and all this, and they think this is what you can do. I'm not one of those. But I know what my God can do. And I know if he's with you, there is nothing that's impossible. That's the Lord. There's a second thing we need to know, the tactics of the enemy. The devil has tactics, just like they have in any war, any battle. And the first is this, he loves to divide and conquer. You know, that was the communist philosophy. They would come in and turn the people against each other and finally get the country so weakened by this, boom, they'd move in and take over. Even during the time in Romania, when it was a communist country, only 10% of the people were communists. 10%. And that 10% began to manipulate, turn against people against one another. The devil loves to disguise his activities. So it always looks like the problem is somebody else or someone else or something else. And I kind of compare it to this. We live in the valley. In the valley, we're familiar with the skunk. Well, you know that smell. You're driving down the road and all of a sudden, whoa. And the windows are up, but it's coming through the car. You know where it's from. You know what it is. But imagine you'd never been to the valley. And then you come here and all of a sudden you smell that. And your natural response is to look at the next person in the car. That was you. Wasn't me. And that goes back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, finally you come up with this great solution. He who smelt it, dealt it. Oh. We love to do that. And we accuse one another. Well, that's like the enemy. He comes in, throws off a stink. We get all mad. And if we don't know it's him, we start accusing each other. And the devil runs away like a skunk, and he's laughing and laughing. Look what I did. When I was a young teenager, we were at my grandpa's farm. My dad was doing some tractor work at night, had the headlights on, and I was looking down the row at him, and all of a sudden the tractor stops. He jumps off the tractor and starts running. I thought, what is going on? Later he said, there was a skunk there, and I had to get out of there. Well, sometimes we're like that. We need to understand the enemy is like the skunk. And we try and do things. We'll say, okay, we have this. We go try and go get some air freshener. Hopefully thinking, oh, that'll send the smell away. Just mass it, you know. Until we deal with the source, we're going to have the skunk again and again and again. The skunk will only come back until you stop it at the source. You know, in the Bible it says, it's like that with a strong man. We have to bind him. We have to deal with him. Here's a second tactic of the enemy is disguise. Disguise. Sometimes the enemy comes as wolves in sheep's clothing. He comes and you think, oh, well, I thought they were a Christian. Oh, you know, one of the major things in a battle is camouflage. Soldiers will put that on their uniform so they can be incognito somewhat. And the worst thing is when the enemy's in your own uniform. That happened different times in the Second World War, that soldiers would be going along and all of a sudden, you know, they meet a soldier, they think it's an American. It was a German in American clothes. And he would instruct him, go that way, and it was to an ambush. We have to recognize that who our enemy is, it's Satan. It's not people. There are many people captured by the enemy. They need liberation. We're not fighting against our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's not our family. It's not our children. It's not your spouse. It's the devil. And we need to recognize this. And if we do, it'll get us on our knees and pray and seek God. The devil is the enemy. And here's the third thing. He tries to get you to doubt your authority. He loves to come along, and probably as I read this verse earlier, you're thinking, it says here, I give you power, the authority to trample on serpents and go over all the power of the enemy. Oh, I don't feel that way. And so I'll just kind of hide in the background and just let someone else who I know is stronger in the Lord take the forefront, and we just fade in behind them. When it says over all the power of the enemy, that's for you. That's you. You say, that is you. You have been given that authority. God says, I've deputized you to go about my business. You're fighting the war. You're the boots on the ground. You're the one that I've given the authority to. God has equipped the believer to overcome Satan's power. And we make up our excuses, one after the other. My spiritual life is not that strong. I really don't know if that is, does Jesus live in your heart? Is he your Savior? Have you surrendered your life to him? You have the authority. One of the greatest things that Satan would love us to not know is the authority we have in Jesus' name. You have that authority. You know, I'm a representative of the church. And I go somewhere in town, if I need to pick up some things, I can go into a store and put it on our account. And sign. Why? Because the church has given me that authority to do it if we need it for the church. God is saying you're like that too. He's given you the authority to do his work. You're in a battle. And you don't, God didn't send you there and say, okay, here's your boots, here's your gun, take care. No, he said, I've given you the authority over all the power of the enemy. You are in a battle and you are the mighty ones in God. Until that gets in your mind, until it affects your heart, you will always be shy in the battle. The Bible says in Daniel, I don't have it on the thing, but it says, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. That's you. Do you know God? His design is that you're strong and you're doing exploits. You know, when the 70 returned, they said to Jesus, even demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, don't marvel about that. Be grateful your name's written in heaven. You see, when your name is written in heaven, you're not only a child of God, you not only have a future with the Lord, but God says, you know what? You're my child. You have my authority to take care of this. Mark 16, verse 17 says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Let that sink in for a little bit. In my name, they will cast out demons. Oh, but we don't see them today. Turn your news on. You say, well, I don't see demons there. Do you see stealing, killing, destruction? There's where the enemy's working. You know, we talk about the wars going on, Hamas, Israel, Ukraine, Russia. Have we ever thought that the church needs to be on our knees praying, taking the authority over the enemy who's causing the stealing, the killing, the destruction? We need to do that. So here's my third point. How do we operate? We know we're in a war. What do we do? You know, one time Jesus, he healed a deaf and mute boy by casting out a demon. And he explained that in order to overturn the work and the activity of Satan, we must bind him first. You see, what police do when they capture somebody, the first thing they do is put them in cuffs. Because that renders them less of a problem. God says, you got to do that with the enemy. You got to cuff them and stuff them. That's what I used to tell my dad when he was a volunteer for the police. All he would do is go out and check doors and check cars to see if they're parked wrong. And he would come home, yep, we cuffed and stuffed today. And I said, Dad, you have no authority to cuff and stuff. Anyway. But this is what the Lord says. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man? And then he will plunder his house. We have to bind the enemy. We have to tie his hands. And then we'll be able to take back what he's stolen. The symptoms are many. We see those. Strongholds must be dealt with. This is what the Lord tells us. He says in Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 17, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Well, I didn't know as a soldier. Why would he tell you this? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your waist girt about with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is the Lord telling us there? Suit up. Get ready for the battle. Don't go out without your armor. As you pray in the morning, you say, Lord, I put on the armor of God. And you take it on. Because that brings me to our next point. What do we do in the battle? We put on the armor first. If you're going to go to war, you suit up. You take the equipment you need so you can go out and fight the war. Every one of those is important. And one of the things I didn't read, the next verse, it says, to pray always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Walking in the Holy Spirit is so important. Letting us pray in the Holy Spirit is also important. You say, well, what do I pray about? Some of you say, well, I can pray for 30 seconds and then I don't know what to pray about. If you're in a war, who is important to you? Well, there's my family, there's my friends, there's my city, and there's our nation. We got to make sure our nation's okay. You know, we have to pray for those and pray that the enemy would be defeated. You say, when the battle gets really intense, and some of you are at that place, the battle is intense. You pray more intensely because you will win in God. You pray to break strongholds. And you say, well, sometimes I just got to pray more. Here's the third thing. We have to learn to resist. I talked about that earlier. We are called to resist the devil. How do we do this? James says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We've missed the first part, submitting to God. When you submit to God, you're saying, God, I can't do this on my own, but you can. And so, Lord, I submit to you. And he gives you the strength to resist the devil. One of the greatest weapons you have in walking with God, in being a threat to the enemy, is your submission to God. The more you submit to the Lord and say, God, it's you. You're in control. Do your work. Then boom, God works. This is how we resist Satan. We submit to God. And then the Bible says he flees. Why does he flee? He does not want to be around people who love Jesus. He doesn't. It's like, get me out of here. These are all Jesus people. And he's gone. The devil runs when the people who are submitted to God come in the room. You ever notice something too? When you're going through a huge struggle, if you'll play worship music, something happens. It's like the atmosphere changes. Why? The devil's not going to want to stick around while music is playing, worshiping God. He flees. He runs. He doesn't want to be there. Well, here's the fourth thing, and that is displacement. You see, when the devil flees, when that stronghold is broken and he flees, what do we need to do? We realize he's displaced and so on, and that's our job. We're to break those strongholds. We're to displace him. Satan's not going to hang around. But then that brings me to the next one, occupation. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, we've got the devil on the run, but now what do? We go back home, we stay in that place, and we just say, oh, that's nice. And no one's occupying the land. After the Second World War, to this day, we have troops in Germany. You say, why? We're occupying. We're not in control of that, but we're making sure the enemy does not rise up again. We have to do that with God. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus told the story, that when demons were cast out of a house and it was cleaned but not occupied, the enemy came back seven times stronger. We have to occupy. We have to make sure that place where the enemy used to be is now filled with the presence of God. It's that way with anything. I've seen people, God would deliver them from something, and because it wasn't occupied with the presence of God, they were hit again and again, and it was even worse. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, 27, and do not give the devil a foothold. Why? Because the foothold eventually becomes a stronghold. That's what we need to know and understand. Here's one of the next ones, fortification. The Bible says we need to stay strong in the Lord. if you look and realize, God wants us to always sharpen the sword. That means we need to be in the Word of God, learning it, knowing it. We need to increase our faith because that's our shield. And we need to fortify ourselves, taking on that armor of God. We need to walk in our authority. As I mentioned earlier, this verse, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. We look across our city. We may even look within our families and we say, God, we need that. What do we need to do? Know your God. Know your God and what he can do. And the Bible says, you'll be strong and there'll be great exploits. I look at 2025 for Full Gospel Tabernacle. And Lord, I want to see great exploits. It's going to happen as we know our God, as we're putting on that armor of the Lord, as we're rising up to do battle. We'll see souls saved, lives changed. Circumstances will be different. Why? Because God did his work. And it starts with us. We're in the army of the living God. How are you doing, soldier? Let's pray. Lord, this morning, one of the lessons on the journey is to learn about the war. I know we don't like war. We try and avoid it. But we are in a war spiritually. And God, you've called your people to rise up, to be the resistance. You've called your people to submit to God, to resist the devil and he would flee. Too many this morning are seeing the enemy occupy. They're seeing the enemy create strongholds. And Lord, you want those broken. In Jesus' name. Lord, today I pray that every believer in Jesus Christ hearing this message this morning will rise up and recognize we are in a war. And it's not against people. It's against the enemy who's trying to hold those people hostage. God, I pray that there would be a liberation among your people, Lord, to recognize, to step up and say, I'm with the Lord. And I'm a soldier in the army of the living God. Lord, move our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.